And we're back with Nancy Dennison, as we'll take your calls as well. Nancy, where do people get your book, Create a New Reality?
Anywhere. Amazon has a lot of copies, and you can order it through any bricks and mortar bookstore, lots of places on the internet.
How do you feel the fact that you left law, left that law firm?
Relieved.
Really?
Yes, I am. Well, like I said, my whole life changed, and I was embarking on a new adventure in human life, and I was excited to go out on my own and see what would happen.
Were you in a relationship prior to the death, and did that affect it at all?
No, I wasn't. And no, it didn't.
Did it make you, the near-death experience I'm talking about, did it make you a more sensitive person, understanding person after you came back?
Yes. It took a while to kick in. Because like I said, it took me about 7 years to acclimate. But yes, I was impressed with the fact that I had been ashamed of what I saw in my life while I was in the afterlife, you know, seeing it from that perspective and realizing I hadn't put the time into loving relationships that I should have. Love is what endures, not money or fame or success.
What would you say was the greatest thing you were able to bring back from the other side for yourself?
This whole idea that we are not separate from our Creator, that we are, in fact, part of our Creator, and because of that, we have these amazing superpowers that we can use to make our incarnated lives better. And, George, I'm not trying to take the law of attraction away from people. I'm not trying to take anything away from somebody. If you believe in that and it works for you, hallelujah. My job is just to tell people what I learned in the afterlife.
Right.
They do with it whatever they want.
All right, let's take some calls for you. They're lining up. Let's begin with Karen in Roanoke, Virginia. Welcome to the program. Hi, Karen. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie. When I heard your guest story, my heart broke knowing that somebody out there was raised not knowing that the Creator wasn't only outside creating, but also creating inside. And I agree with what she's saying is that we manifest parts of our lives, but at the same time that we're manifesting, other people are manifesting too, that can change the direction. So we might have the best of intentions. I believe I had a baseball-sized brain tumor.
Oh, geez.
And I told people that I thought I had a brain tumor, and the doctors said it was a sinus infection and migraines. And I think that the reason I got that brain tumor was to teach the doctor that sometimes it is a zebra showing up instead of a horse.
What do you think of all of that, Nancy?
I am so, so sorry that you had a brain tumor. I've got cancer myself, and I know how devastating these medical conditions can be.
Yes, but I got through it.
Yes.
I recovered probably about 90% of what I was.
That's amazing.
That's super. And one of the things I
knew it would.
Yeah, I learned in the afterlife that human life is driven by two major engines. One is biology, the other is manifesting. And biology may have created the tumor, but you clearly manifested the cure. That was all you.
Now, how do you today, Nancy, tap into manifesting things for yourself that you want to accomplish? What do you do?
I'm so experienced with it. All I need to do is, I will admit, I was walking around my house yelling out, I'm ready for Coast to Coast. And here I am. The easiest way to get your mind focused is through meditation. You know, any way that you can block out the world, you know, if you listen to music or if, you know, being in the shower or running a lawnmower, whatever it is that allows you to just block out the world so that you can focus. All you have to do is say, I intend X, whatever X is.
Now, if law of attraction does exist, if it does exist, how does that work? How would it work?
I don't know because I...
You don't believe in it.
Well, I did before I died. I mean, I totally believed in it before I died. But, you know, I don't know what the most current iteration of it is, but I do know that thoughts are not magnetic because they have no physical properties to them. They have no mass to be magnetic, and they also don't have a frequency. And I know from being a pilot and relying on radio signals for my life that when you broadcast the same, when you broadcast two frequencies or two signals on the same frequency, they repel each other. They don't attract each other. So the scientific explanation that I read about the law of attraction, it doesn't work. Now, if there's another explanation, you know, that I don't know about that.
Next up, let's go to Kurt in Philadelphia, east of the Rockies. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, George. How are you?
Great.
Can you hear me all right?
I sure can. Thanks for calling.
Awesome. Thank you. I have a quick question.
All right.
Now, let's just say I'm looking at a new car or a car that I really want. I'm attracting it. You know, I'm thinking of it. I'm looking at pictures on the internet. I'm a little confused with the intention part. How would I implement the intention part? I'll take my question off the air and appreciate everything you guys
do. All right. How does he create the intention under manifestation?
Well, what he's doing, you know, thinking about it and looking at pictures on the internet, that's all the attention part of the attention and intention formula for manifesting. To form the intention, all you need to do is get yourself into a focused mindset. You know, get yourself quiet, get the human mind out of the way, and say, I intend to have that new car.
Interesting.
That's all it takes. Now, it may take a while because manifesting isn't always instant. And you may not get that exact car. You know, something may work out in your life, Kurt, that allows you to get another car that you like even better. But if you form the intention, you're going to have a new car.
Next up, we have Karen in Bradenton, Florida. First-time caller for Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi, George Norrie. Oh, my golly. I'm so enamored to finally speak to you.
And you got through.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
You manifested it, and it happened.
You are awesome. Yeah, I did. You know, I it took me a long time to even get up the courage to call. Right?
Well, good.
I called tonight, and yes, I did. That's what happened. And you have your guest, I love. She's great. Nancy, I just wanted to let you know something. My question was like, what about combining, you know, manifestation with, you know, the law of attraction? That would be for the people who, like, don't understand. But here's the real what happened to me, and I'll make it fast because I know you got a lot of people calling. I was in a hospital for 51 days. My left lung shut down, and I had tubes on the right side, chest tube. A second operation, you know, they cut out part of my left lung, and it wasn't even for cigarettes. You know, it was a decayed piece of tooth particle that got in my left lung and infected. I had walking pneumonia.
Oh, my God.
Above. Anyway, long story short, they said, there's a blockage in your left lung that won't and it will not inflate. You, they said to me, you have to clear that. Do you know what I did? I mean, I'm like, here I am in a hospital bed, 51 days total, you know, and I can't get out of bed because I have tubes on both sides of me. I can't even go to the bathroom. So they have to change the mattresses because the nurses don't come fast enough. Anyway, so what I did is I closed my eyes and I pictured all passageways clear. 2 days later, that clot went away and my left lung inflated. Here I am to talk about it.
That's exactly how it works, Karen. I'm so proud of you.
She tapped into it.
She sure did. And you know, the intention is what did it. And we can heal ourselves from pain, from emotional problems, from illnesses and diseases within the parameters of biology. I mean, like if they told you need to grow a new lung, you probably weren't going to do that. But clearing that clot, that infection. You can do that.
Tell us more, Nancy, about your thoughts about the source, which some would call God.
The source that I became intimately familiar with in the afterlife is loving, completely unconditionally loving. And people don't really understand the depths of the term unconditional love because humans are judgmental by nature. Source is not judgmental, not at all. It doesn't matter what we do, what we think, what we feel, who we are, what our incarnated bodies do, we are loved unconditionally. Source is curious, extremely curious. Intelligent, all intelligence comes from Source. Every bit of it. It is accepting, has humor, sense of humor, has honesty and integrity and givingness, and is willing to sacrifice and to experience anything and everything it can imagine, has a huge imagination.
Must you believe in the source to manifest something?
No.
Really?
It's a built-in spiritual ability.
It's not the source that makes it happen for you?
No.
That's interesting. Let's go next to Joe in Monterey, California. Hey, Joe, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Hi, Nancy. You know, Nancy didn't have to die to go to heaven, but since you're back, congratulations. I do in between life with clients, and they do travel that distance, and yes, they do agree with what you say. My question is, and this is important for people, how much of this life that we come into this world did we agree upon before we come here, and the people that we meet as well? And George, as far as attraction, that's been set up before. So when we think people are coming into our life, no, they've already been in our life before we even came into our own life.
But do we make that happen, or does the universe?
As soul, we create. As soul, we are, it's an ongoing relationship between what she calls the source, or this power, this intelligence, is all that is, that works through us and with us. We co-create with us, and around us, we're in a field. We're always in this field.
Nancy, what do you think of Joe and what he's saying?
I think you're wonderful, and I have been to heaven without dying. It seems like once you make that journey into the light and into that state of awareness, you can do it again. And so I did. And what I saw in the afterlife about incarnation is that we watch the parents of the child we're going to enter into, and we watch to see, are they going to have a lifestyle, and do they have the character traits that are going to generate the types of experiences we want to have? And we watch previews of the lives of the child that we might, or the children that we might enter into. And that's what deja vu is. When we actually experience in human life something that we saw in one of those previews, it's deja vu all over again.
What do you call it when somebody just says to themselves, I know this is going to happen, and it happens? What is that in your
opinion? Manifesting.
That's manifesting? It's not tapping into something?
It's tapping into your spiritual ability to manifest.
Let me rephrase it. An accident happens. They know it's going to happen. They feel it. Who would want to manifest that? Nobody. So what is it?
No human would want to manifest that, but we souls are not human, and we manifest things for various reasons. Like, for example, that accident, maybe we have agreed at the spiritual level with somebody who's in the picture, like maybe a paramedic, that we will sacrifice ourselves, our health, to have that accident so that the paramedic can have the experience, or so that the paramedic can do this or that or the other thing. We are so unconditionally loving as souls that we will do anything for someone we care about.
We have Jody in New Paltz, New York with us now. Hello, Jody.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi. What I wanted to point out is that I've listened really carefully to what you said, and it seems that you're talking, when you talk about manifesting, you're talking about the law of attraction. So I just wanted to clarify something. You, George asked you at the beginning what was the difference between the law of attraction and manifesting, and when you described what you thought the difference was, I think that you had some mistaken understanding of the law of attraction in there, because everything you've said about manifesting is the law of attraction. I mean, that's what the law of attraction is. Everything you say manifesting is, that's what the law of attraction is. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, and in law of attraction, how do you, my understanding of the phraseology is that you pull, somehow you pull the things that you want out of the universe or out of God. Is that wrong?
That one part is exactly the part that you have wrong. There's nothing in the law of attraction that says that you go into some big, you know, store in the sky and you pull out your car. That's not what it is. The law of attraction is exactly what you said manifesting is, which is tapping into your spiritual self and putting forth your intention and attention. So there is no... In the law of attraction, there is no understanding of some store in the sky that you tune into to get that car. It's purely to tune in to your spiritual self to then manifest from your normal, natural, spiritual ability to manifest, which is what you say manifesting is. So basically, you're describing the law of attraction when you talk about manifesting, and I think that's where some of the confusion is. About that, you know, there's Esther Hicks and Abraham, they talk about the law of attraction all the time, and of course the movie The Secret, and everything they talk about in there is what you say manifesting is. So I think that your understanding of the law of attraction might be a little bit off in that way, because it's exactly what you say manifesting is. So
all right, let's get Jody's take on that. Thank you, Jody. Let's Nancy, what do you think of Jody's?
I think that's wonderful. You know, that resolves, you know, both of us, makes us both happy.
You think she's right?
I've read all the Esther Hicks books, and I've read The Secret and some other law of attraction books, and I get a different take on them, but I really like Jody's take, and I'm going to go with it.
I mean, it's conceivable that they both exist. I mean, manifesting, we've all tried individually. But it's conceivable that the universe takes over under laws of attraction somehow. I think if you're well-intentioned, you're a good person, things are going to happen for you. Here's case in point. I don't think it's manifesting if you give a homeless person some money and then go home and open up your mail and you find out you got a check for $2,000 from somebody. And to me, that's karma, but I think the universe might be doing that, which I would call the law of attraction. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Nancy, wanted to get your take, Nancy Dennison with us, on the devil and evil. Does it exist?
Well, evil certainly does. We can see that. But no, there is no devil. I believed that, you know, as a Catholic before I died. But I saw in the afterlife by watching creation and also by watching Source before the universe was created that there is no counterpart to Source. There's no evil creature out there that causes us to do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. And a lot of what we call evil is really just normal animal behavior. Humans are animals. Just like, I mean, they're mammals. They're classified as mammals in the scientific scheme of things. And they have the same tendencies toward violence and self-absorption and selfishness that we see in jungle animals. And we don't think lions are evil for, you know, tracking down and pouncing on and eating a cheetah. But we do think humans are evil when they do things that don't correspond to our own moral values. But a lot of those things are just animal behavior.
Well, where do you think the belief of hell came from?
I watched the development of religions while I was in the afterlife. I saw this like huge documentary on how religion was developed, and hell did not exist until let's call it the Christian era. It's an idea created by humans because humans are judgmental and they punish. They punish people for doing things that they don't like, and humans assume that God is just like a human and therefore would punish people, and the punishment that humans came up with is hell.
All right, let's take the final calls here for you. We'll go to Jim in St. John's, Michigan to get us started. Hi, Jim, go ahead.
Hi, how's it going tonight, George?
Okay, Jimmy, thank you.
I wanted to go back to the airplane scenario, the 737.
Okay.
Now, I've heard of manifesting before. I've studied a lot of different religions for my personal benefit. Now, why would it have to be that all these hundreds of people would manifest these tragedies instead of a single person in the development or building of these planes, let's say having a bad day and unintentionally manifesting the problem with the plane?
And screwing it up, basically.
Right. I mean, why go to such that extreme when the simpler answer is the manifesting should be more personal, more singular in that aspect? I mean, I have manifested in my own life, and that's just, that didn't sit right with me.
What do you think of that, Nancy?
If I understand correctly, Jim is saying that one person may have had a bad day and just screwed up the plane design or screwed up the software.
Right, right.
And that's what caused these planes to come down. And I think that is an entirely conceivable situation.
Can you unintentionally manifest something?
No.
You cannot.
No.
You have
that
to.
That would just be a human error, you know.
Okay.
Having a bad day or, you know, a brain fart. Just a human error.
But what if for some reason, let's say a terrorist wants to create an episode and it happens? Did he not manifest something out of evil?
You can't manifest out of evil. You just manifest what you intend. And, you know, frankly, we'll never know what's going on in the mind of a terrorist and why they do what they do and what their intentions are and what their spiritual life is like. But I do know, and this is crucial, that we manifest unconsciously all the time. And what we manifest is what we truly and deeply believe. So if a terrorist truly and deeply believes that Americans are evil and they need to be punished, he will create opportunities in his life to impose that punishment. And that's the difference between manifesting and law of attraction. Manifesting is automatic. It's part of our innate nature. We do not have to believe in the source that I described in order to manifest, because we do it automatically all the time. What I'm trying to tell people in my new book is that we can take conscious control of our manifesting. In order to do that, we do have to believe that we are part of the Creator and that we do have the ability to create our own lives.
I cite one of our past guests a lot on the program when we deal with subjects like this. His name's Joseph Gallenberger, professor, and he conducts experiments in Las Vegas. I bring that up because it's easier to gauge. But let's say you're going to Las Vegas and you say to yourself, I'm going to win. And you come back and you've won. You're a winner. Is that manifestation or is that law of attraction?
Manifesting.
You make it happen.
Yes.
Well, that I would agree with. Let's go to George, truck driving in Arkansas, first-time caller. Hey, George, good name.
Thank you, George. How's your evening going?
Not bad. I hope yours is too.
Okay, so I can narrow down about the 50 points where I think your guest is a little bit misguided. How much time do I have?
Well, just start, and I'll cut you when I have to.
Okay, first point. And after your near-death experience, or your death experience, did you happen to cross-reference your story with similar? Because in my theological studies, I've counted numerous cases where, especially in people that do TCM, Qigong, and the traditional Chinese medicine arts, your what you deem a death experience is almost a daily deep meditative experience. What is your perspective on your death versus their trained meditative states?
All right. That'll be question number one, Nancy.
Do you want to answer it now?
Yep.
Okay. I have had deep meditative experiences. I have visited the afterlife briefly without dying. I have had out-of-body experiences. And I've had experiences where I actually died and went into the afterlife, and they're all completely different. So I have the unique perspective of being able to compare and contrast them. And the time that I was in the afterlife in 1994, I was both told and I remembered that this is the process we go through when our bodies die, when we cross over.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a different type of experience than what I had in deep meditative states.
All right. Is that acceptable to you, George? And what's your next question?
Second question, and this is a multi-part question.
All right.
Your own personal background, you are a medical lawyer, correct?
Health lawyer. Yeah, I'm a medical lawyer.
Medical lawyer, sure.
Okay. Now, when you made your statement about seeing the people around you walk by you, first off, in the case of truly hitting a death state, wouldn't they have you monitored and be able to track it? Or is it feasible that your condition or state was a involuntary induced trance state?
I think you died, Nancy. So do you, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not sure I got all of that, but the reason I wasn't being monitored is because nobody expected me to die. People don't normally die from local anesthetic or from low blood sugar, especially not during a radiological procedure. And I had the exact same radiological procedure again in 2011. And again, they left me alone for long periods of time. I wasn't monitored, even though they knew I had died during it, you know, many years before. All I can tell you is when I was in the afterlife, I was told this is the afterlife. I remembered it. I remembered living there before I entered into Nancy. For me, it was reality.
All right. That's all the time we're going to have, George, for that. So we'll take a few more other calls. Let's go to Karen in Chester, Pennsylvania. Hi, Karen. Welcome.
Well, happy Friday to both of you.
Thank you. You too.
I'm really thankful for this discussion because as a confirmation, two things happened to me and one comment from a prior discussion that you had on intent. First, one can actually look at a photograph and with intent make no plans to travel there, but an invitation comes 4 years later, all expense paid trip to India occurred. And I looked at this photograph in Wilmette, Illinois, and I said, I'm going to go there. It was the Lotus Temple in New Delhi. And I made no travel plans. I never saved a nickel to do it. It happened. A second intent was driving on Interstate I-95 in the southern part of the Northeastern Corridor. I was driving up the road. It was 2 a.m. I drive nights all the time, no problem. Didn't realize I had closed my eyelids, but realized the car was running bumpity up. And I remember, before realizing my eyelids were closed and I was driving, a voice said to me internally, just don't hit the trees. And that's when I opened my eyelids and realized my car was on a 90-degree angle, driving up the grassy knolls of Interstate I-95. I hadn't hit any kind of barriers or anything, but it was just bumping me. At 67 miles an hour, when I opened my eyes up, the car was at a 90-degree angle.
Jeez.
And I didn't know what to do. So an intent was, I said, oh, God, this car is out of control. I have no idea what to do. Take over. I did nothing. The car came up off the grassy knoll. I skidded across three lanes without hitting any vehicles. There were no vehicles on the road but me. Went into the other grassy knoll on the opposite side of the highway, and I saw a retaining wall. And a voice said, turn the wheel 180 degrees. And I did, and I went 360 degrees around. The cars went to a dead stop and cut off right before I was about to enter the intersection again to go back across the highway. I stopped at the dime, the car, and I was shaking. I was trembling. And I heard a knock on my window. It was this guy standing there. And I wind the window down really a little bit. And he said to me, lady, are you okay? And then traffic started coming, like tractor trailers, vehicles. So the intent saved my life. It was the intent.
Now, the question is, was that manifestation or law of attraction? What do you think, Nancy?
It's manifesting.
She did it for herself?
Yes.
But at one point, doesn't the God step in and say, I'm going to save you?
We are God. We're stepping in and saving ourselves.
That's why you don't practice your Catholicism anymore.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Karen. Good to talk with you. We've got time for one or two more quick calls. Dean in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin's with us, east of the Rockies. Hey, Dean, go ahead.
Yeah, we got two questions. One is, when you made your visits to the other side, I'll call it, did you meet loved ones that had passed?
Yes or no, Nancy?
Did I meet what?
Loved ones who had passed on.
Oh, no, I did not. I met my five most beloved eternal friends, none of whom had been incarnated with me during Nancy's
life. All right, no family. Okay, go ahead, Dean.
No, the other one is my dad would always buy tickets at, like, picnics, you know, anything, any kind of drawing where it happened by the end of the event. And he would buy a ticket, and he goes, all it takes is one ticket, and he would win. I mean, what? I mean, was it manifesting, I'm guessing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I would call that manifesting indeed at its best, Nancy.
And a lucky guy.
Create a New Reality is the name of the book. Her website, backwardsbooks.com. Now, this particular book, you've written a couple others. You were with me when we talked about
Answers from the Afterlife.
That's right.
Yeah, this is my fifth book.
That was back almost 2 years ago. My gosh.
Yes.
Quickly.
Time flies.
So what do you do next?
I think this is all of my books. Because I put out everything that I can remember from the afterlife. What I've been doing and would like to continue doing is manifesting coaching. You know, people have written me emails and said, you know, well, how do I do this and how do I do that and what intention should I have? And it's really hard for me to connect with somebody through email and have a decent conversation. So I'm doing manifesting coaching sessions by phone. And I have found those to be so rewarding for me. I have met the most spectacular people by phone, and I've been able to help them change their lives. And
that's the way to do it. Nancy, thank you for being on the program. Appreciate it. Good luck with this book, Create a New Reality. Even though you say this is the last one, I think you've got one or two more in you. You never know about that. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking about some of the strange and unusual, followed by those very special Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Morrills, Tim Bedall, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.